I'm going to read today from John's Gospel, chapter 13, and reading from verse 18. And Jesus is speaking, and he says, "I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you, before it come, that when it is come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me." When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified, and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me." Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. Finished there at the end of verse 23. And by the way, Peter is the one that comes into the scene next, and he beckons, the Bible says, he gestures towards the one that is leaning on the very chest of our Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that to be John, the apostle who writes this gospel. And Peter makes known to him, gestures to him, beckons to him, that John should ask of who it should be of whom Jesus was speaking. That is, who is the one that should betray him? Now, the reason why I mentioned all that is that you can imagine, you can sense the tension that was in the air and the atmosphere. I mean, this was a very difficult conversation that was taking place in a very familiar and, to some extent, a very intimate situation where they are there. The disciples' feet have been washed. They're having supper together. And now there is this conversation which has taken place. They know that someone's going to betray the name of the Lord Jesus. So if we have that in mind, then we can start to glean the word which I want to share with you today. And that brings us to the words of verse 23, where you have this sort of interruption almost. It's an identification which is made regarding who this person is before we carry on with the narrative. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. John is not named as such at this moment, and he's not named as such in the gospel. But we do believe, and for good reason, he is the writer of his gospel. If you compare John 21 and 20 and John 21 and verse 24, and you look at other portions of scripture, it's very clear this is the conclusion that we should draw. There's no reason not to hold to the traditional view that John is the writer of his own gospel. The reason why he doesn't speak of his name as such or refer to his name is that, well, not only is he showing humility and humbleness, but also this title which is given to him is more of a noble, more of a gracious title, quite a remarkable title. He's known as the disciple whom Jesus loved. I mean, what a name to have put to you, to be known for that. It's not just simply the disciple that loved the Lord Jesus, but it's disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, at this stage of this devotional, we do have to remember a few things. When the Bible speaks of John as the disciple that Jesus or whom Jesus loved, that's not saying that, you know, the disciples or the rest of them were not loved. Even when we think of Judas Iscariot, who betrayed the blessed Saviour, there is still the demonstration of love towards Judas, which is remarkable, to say the least. We know that the disciples, to some extent, to more or to less, enjoyed their closeness to the Saviour. And we can't deny that. You can't just ignore that fact. We're not going to sort of treat this scenario as if there was a 100 measures of love that Christ had for John, 100 for Peter, 100 for Matthew, and so on. There were levels of intimacy and closeness which was demonstrated and clearly exhibited. Peter, again, is a leading figure. He's the spokesman, we might say. He's the one often that is referred to as representing the rest. And then you have Peter and James and John. They form something of this inner circle. So we're not saying that the rest were just, you know, thrown to the side and abandoned. Indeed, at the beginning of this portion, this very unique portion of scripture in John 13, says that he loved his own which were in the world. He loved them unto the end. That the love that he demonstrated towards us, towards these apostles, was most astonishing. When we come to the individual walk, it's clear that one differed from another. And so too it's the case with us. It's very clear that over the course of history, some believers are very much closer in their walk with God. In the Bible, you've got Lazarus, you've got Martha, you've got Mary. They're singled out as unique individuals because of their relationship in the walk with the Saviour. So we think of John here and the remarkable position he holds, whom Jesus loved. Again, it's just such a gracious thought which comes to us, one that we should all glean from. He loves us all that we might love him more. But I want you to think about John's posture and some few things we can finish with very briefly. The words of verse 23, now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom. Some, when they discuss these things, they're trying to sort of, I think, take away from it. They're referring to the way in which the apostles may have been positioned in those days, those more ancient times. And the suggestion is that maybe this was how people used to sit and sup together. They would all be leaning one upon another, which I'm an expert in the customs and the ways of those times, but I sort of wonder how you could eat and be practical in that manner. And it sort of takes away from the fact that John purposefully and intentionally leaned against the Saviour. The scripture draws our attention to that as much as to Jesus loving John. He was leaning. It's not just saying that's where he was, that's his position, but he's doing this. He's resting. Now, John's not a weakling. He's not fainting and needing to be propped up. He's a strong, robust, bold character for the Lord, as were all of the faithful disciples and apostles. He's doing this because of his love for Christ, his dependency. So here are some thoughts I finish with. We're to lean near to one in all times of trouble and need. Again, remember, there was a certain anxiety or thought in the air. Who is the one? Who's the one? There was trouble. Even our Lord Jesus himself is described as being troubled in the spirit when he says one shall betray. And then the disciples all look one on another, doubting of whom he spake. So this was the air, this was the attention. And this was the tension of the time. And then for a moment, for a break, we ask the question, where are you, John? And he's leaning. In a moment of trouble, in a moment of great need, he's in the place where he needs to be. He's right by the Saviour. Well, my friends, in that same sense, we can do that. Instead of the doubts and the questions, let's be leaning by the Lord. And then we can say that we are to lean near to the heart of Christ. He's leaning by the bosom, we might say by the chest or by the heart, to hear the beats, to hear the love, to hear the very soul of Christ, we might say, or that we might live near him always, not far away. But those who are close to his chest know what the heart of Christ is. See it revealed in the gospel. See it revealed to us in scripture. And live not the heart of the world, but live near to the heart of Christ. And then by leaning, it's the symbol and the illustration of reliance. It's an indication that we draw our strength from him. If someone leans upon you, they're tired. They need strength. And while John would have been a strong character for the Lord, there were times when he was weary. And so he draws his strength. And here is a striking picture of the need to draw from Christ on a daily basis. May we too lean on our Saviour. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, give us grace every day to trust thee in all of our ways. How thankful we are there is one whom loves us more than we possibly know, and we might lean and trust upon him. Father, draw near to us throughout this day and into this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.